Sunday afternoon shiur on Derech Hashem for the ladies, the seventh shiur of the winter of Tavshinayim Tes, Yom Aleph Parshas Chayasora, October 28th, 19 Marcheshvan, and we're in Shin 4, and we're up to Perek Aleph and Paragraph 5. Perek Aleph, Paragraph 5, and Section 4.
We're learning Derech Hashem, and we're up to the fourth section, first parak, and we're in paragraph 5. First parak develops, the whole section talks about the influences that we influence the world and we influence the upper world. Section talks about how we influence the world and the upper worlds, the world of Shemayim, which really control everything that happens on earth, as we saw in the second section, the action that really happens up in Shemayim, except the things which are controlled by Bechira, even there it's controlled by what happens in Shemayim, it's just that we control it first. So the influence goes from us to Shemayim. So the influence goes from us to Shemayim and then back down. That's why Bechira matters. By matters which are not Bechira matters, it just goes from Shemayim to us. But we influence what happens in Shemayim through our Avodah. And the influences that we receive through doing mitzvahs, and that we, and what's emanated from us to the world, to the Bria, is the subject of section 4. What influences, what spiritual influences are involved in specific mitzvahs and general mitzvahs, and how we influence the Bria in turn. So Perek Aleph talks about the very basics idea. He split up the Yiddishkeit, one could say, into Talmud and Maaseh. He'll explain Talmud in Perek Beis, learning Torah, understanding Torah, learning about all these things, learning Gemara, learning Mishnayos, learning Tanakh, learning Hashkafa, anything that's included in Torah, and Ma'aseh. Ma'aseh doesn't have to be physical Ma'aseh, it can include the mitzvahs that are attitudes and the Hashkafas. Then he split it up further into daily obligations, constant obligations, daily obligations, periodic obligations and situational obligations. And he said, constant obligations are Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem, daily would be like Kriya Shema, davening, periodic would be Shabbos, Yom Tov, situational would be things like Challah, Meiser, Pidyon HaBen. Okay, these are examples. Paragraph 4 establishes a very important principle, and he talks about it a little in the Masilas Yesharim, Perek Aleph. He elaborates upon it here, and he did in Chelek Aleph, and he does it here again, although not as much as in Chelek Aleph. And in his other Sfarim, the Ramchal elaborates this on this a great deal more. And that is that the mitzvahs and Averis, we'll call it the avoiding of Averis. How do you fulfill a law? You avoid an Avera. But you create a spiritual influence when you avoid an Avera. Because, as I explained last time, avoiding an Avera doesn't mean I don't happen to be killing anybody right now, or I don't happen to be stealing right now, I don't happen to be doing Lashon Hara right now. That's not avoiding an avera. Avoiding an avera is when you're exercising your bechira to avoid an avera. Right now I'm not having bechira not to kill anyone, except let's say if I had an assignment to embarrass somebody here, and I expend spiritual energy not to, so in a sense that's like killing someone. But again, killing, stealing, you know, things, immoral acts. So I'm not exercising my bechira right now. So when you talk about the expenditure of spiritual energy that creates a spiritual positive force, that creates a spiritual positive force in the world, and we're talking about lavim, which that also we're talking about avoiding lavim through the exercise of bechira. And again, it's entirely likely and plausible and probable that you expend more spiritual energy avoiding a lav than you do to do an asay. Okay, maybe not always. It's, as a generality, I think it's true. So he establishes the principle in paragraph 4 that the mitzvahs are not just a point system, a merit system, and we get checks on the chart, stars on the chart, and if we have enough stars, enough checks, enough merits, we pass go, we collect $200, and we go into Gan Eden. It's much, much deeper than that. Each mitzvah, each avera, again, when I say avera, I mean that's a negative, but I'm talking about now positive, so I'm talking about avoiding an avera. So you say, avoiding an avera, what's that? The avoiding avera is expending my spiritual energy to win the bechira battle and not do the avera. And each avera, I have to expend a different type of energy to avoid it, to not do it. It's just like my bechira to do mitzvah saseis. So each mitzvah is a different bechira, a different asayon, a different. One might be laziness, one might be to. It cost me money, one might be it cost me kavod. So the love is the same. So the point is that it's not just a merit system, a point system. It's not that you amass enough credits, enough points, you graduate into Gan Eden, but each one is a spiritual force. And it creates a certain element, it contributes to your shleimus as a spiritual being, whatever spiritual heights you can reach because of whatever your neshama would enable you to do or to be. So you take another step to shleimus, which another word for shleimus is veikus Hashem. You are connecting to Hashem, you're bonding with Hashem. It's a spiritual entity, and as you perform the asay, or perform the los asay, as we just described, so you're creating a spiritual bond, a spiritual aura, a spiritual bond. You become more spiritual, less physical, and you connect to Hashem. And that is the report of the mitzvahs. And, you know, when the body gets lowered into the ground, you're left, what are you left with? You're left with how spiritual you are. And that's your reward. You are connected to Hashem, and you connect to Hashem to whatever degree you determine the mitzvahs. So again, the mitzvahs are, it's like you would tell your child, let's say, if you study, you'll get a good mark on the test. It's an example, but it's not that bad. You're not telling him if he studies, he's going to get a reward. If he get a good mark on the test as a reward for his studying. But if he studies, he's going to know the material. And if he knows the material, he'll get a good mark on the test. And all the benefits that will accrue from knowing the material. So you're not rewarding him. That's not what schar is. But you become knowledgeable. So you know the material. So you become spiritual. And you bond with Hashem. And that is our goal. That's how the Ramchal starts off in Sil Sisharim. That a person was created with his anagal Hashem, to bond with Hashem, and that is the most intensely pleasurable experience that a person, a neshama, can have. Everything else is fleeting and mixed with agmas nefesh and mixed with things that are not so pleasurable. So that's what we establish in paragraph 4. That the mitzvahs, the aveiros, the maniyah from Ra, the mitzvahs, aseis, everything washes away a little chumrius, everything washes away a little gashmius, allows the sun, Hashem's or upon him, to shine in upon you, and you bond with that. That's what he said, and that's the purpose. And as he says on the Sil Sisharim, and as he repeats here at the end of paragraph 4, you have this beneficial spiritual effect upon the whole world as well. Because as you use things in the world, whether you use a lulavan, an esrog, or a mezuzah, or dough, the teikhala, or you use even more mundane objects, everyday objects, and you do, you know, you do what you're supposed to do with them, not even necessarily one of the 248 mitzvahs, but you take care of what you're supposed to take care of, you fulfill your responsibilities, and so on. So these are all good deeds, and this is all, as we explained in Zil Sishorim, you ma'ale ha'olam kulo, you raise, you affect the world's shleimus, which is what Hashem expects of mankind as well, not only to affect his or her own personal shleimus, and not only to contribute to Klal Yisrael's shleimus, but to contribute to the world's shleimus. And you do that because everything we do has an effect, because everything's connected to the influences in Shemayim, and they in turn influence what's down here on earth. And we can't even imagine, you know, how many malachim there are, how many kochavim there are, that are influencing everything down here. So that's all we create, that positive aura, when we do mitzvahs. So paragraph 5, which completes Paragrishon, points out, as Ramchal ever so often points out, he stops and says, you know, this is a super, super oversimplification. The devil is in the details. The details are enormous. There's thousands, millions, billions of productive specifics. Everything we do, every area, and there's so many people, and we live different lives and in a different century, and everything, and there's so many mitzvahs, and there's so many, if you talk about Torah, there's so much in Torah to learn. He says, Akrata Yanyanim, the specifics of everything is kifi mashahuchku, the way they were established, just like physics has laws, physical physics has laws, and physical chemistry has laws. So spiritual physics has laws, and this is what we've been learning in the Ramchal from day one. It's a very ordered universe, and everything is, just like we know in the physical world, if you study, let's say, chemistry or physics, we know everything has chukim, everything has laws. We call it laws of gravity, laws of nature. We call it laws because Hashem made a teva, and that's the way it goes. And you know, it can't stray. Things can't go faster than the speed of light. Newton's laws, if they're true, let's say, so they're true, and that's the way Hashem made the Bria. And so, in the spiritual world, it's like that also. You can accomplish things with Shabbos, but then you need a Pesach, and you need to take challah, you need a mezuzah, and to raise a family. Everything is having different influences, and it's covering the whole gamut of the Bria. Afrata yon yonim hem kfi mashe huchiku, as chukos hanushius, as the personal mitzvahs, personal influences were established, mitzvahs that you do, specific to you. The ha'olam is, you know, more like, let's say, kilayim, you know, a plant kilayim. Well, you have to take the terumas and maestros. That has to do already. You're influencing the land, you're influencing the crops, you're influencing the larger bria, and the chahena, everything. B'chol mechino seyam. So everything is covered, and that's the specific mitzvahs and the specific influences that govern it all. And you, And so you say, well, there's only 613 mitzvahs, that doesn't seem like such an enormous number, and nobody is really mechuyim in 613 mitzvahs, I mean, right? It's not possible, it says in different parts of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, but then you go through life and you know, you're overwhelmed. Because every minute of life has its nisyonos and has its imperatives, what to do and how to act. And the Torah demands of me this and this, and the Mishnah Berurah demands of me that, and I have to act a certain way, and I have to, and then there's other people in the world, and everything is very complicated. Chukos ha-noshios ha-olam, the spiritual rules for the person, him or herself, the ha-olam and the entire world, the b'chol b'chi noseyem, all of their levels, Adrachim shenitnu la'adam, the way mankind was given, l'shtalim b'shleimus. Some things are maisa, some things are divur, some things are machshava, some things are ben adam la'makom, some things are ben adam la'chaveru, some things are social in nature, social interaction, some things are very, very private. Right after have established what they did, you have to daven, everything is all the whole gamut of human experience, and that's not an accident. That's why Hashem made the human experience, in order to cover all the bases, in order that the entire Bria, with all its multitudes, which again is beyond human comprehension. It's like saying how many stars are there, right? We talked about yesterday in the Chavurah how many stars there are. So there's billions and billions of stars, because there's billions and billions of events and influences and spiritual, you know, you want to reach Shleimus. So, and then there's different people, and it's, you know, different people are doing different things to accomplish different levels of Shleimus. So that's what he's saying, because everything, the Pratim are very ordered, and they're very, each one has its own role. Hashlam imo sabriya kula, and you'll end up being mashlam the whole bria. If you ever heard of domain, someach, chai, daber, everything is covered, everything. Some karbonos are, you know, the Beis HaMikdash was built from domain, and they had someach, and chai, and daber, kfisa dorel, b'chol machla kol seha, b'shorasheva, b'nofela, everything, there's roots, and there's branches, and there's leaves, and there's trees, and there's galaxies, and meteors, and halachim, and a big world out there, big world, that's where the mitzvahs, and again, you say there's not that many mitzvahs, yeah, but my nisyonos are different every day, and I have to deal with everything every day. You say, like it's a joke, let's say some, you know, people, well, if people think about it, let's say teenagers are full of questions. They think they have philosophical questions. Maybe they used to. Now they just don't want to have any restrictions. So they don't want to say that, so they say they have questions. That's my opinion. Maybe once in a while you'll have a philosophical-minded teenager that indeed wants to understand. It's possible. Okay, you have to answer. And you have to answer the other one too, who only thinks they have questions, but really they just don't want to have restrictions. And the real question is, why do I have to be restricted? Anyway, but you know, the mitzvahs, on one hand, they look very robotic and ritual ordered, because everybody has to sit in the sukkah, and everybody has to eat matzah, and everybody has to say the haggadah, and everybody has to take arba minim, and everybody's taking challah. And a person with no life experience, I wanted to say immature, but I don't want to insult anybody. So I'm just saying, a person with no life experience, that's parrot, and no life experience. I was telling my wife this morning, in the Torah system of society, there are no teenagers. As soon as you become a little mature, you go get married. Then all your questions fall away, because you're too busy with life. too busy coping with life. You have to make a living, you have to raise your children, and you have to be nice to people, and you have to live. It's only because we've created this block of time, at least 10 years, it's going on 20, where you have all the money you want that the parents give you, and you have no responsibilities, and everybody's having a good time. So we've created this monster called the teenage years. The Torah is no teenage. You become bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. You get married as soon as you can. I'm not talking about the Ammonites. You get married at 11 and 12. I'm talking about Sunday. So you get married as soon as you can. A boy is a machlekes in the Gemara. What does he do? How he has to learn, but he has to earn a parnasa. So what should he do? Should he learn and get married later or not? But later means 21, by the way. That's already the later. That's the later. But it really, the teenagers, it's all right, is my thing. The reason it's so difficult to cope with is because it's not normal. The teenage years is not normal. So it's not the Torahic part of life. I mean, we have to cope with it because it exists. And then, you look at America, you look at this, the teenage years is now stretching into the 30s. They don't want responsibility, and they don't want to have a good time, and they don't want to live life yet. Right? But you go to, people go to Eretz Yisrael for 3 weeks. They say, "What is everybody complaining about Eretz Yisrael? It's so schmuck here. I went to the Kevin Ruffle one day, and the Kaisel the other day, and I ate in this restaurant the third day, and then I went to the old city, and I walked around. It's not living life. That's why. So of course it's schmuck." And people go to America, same thing. America is very nice, very beautiful. I went to Lakewood, I saw, wow, it's very nice. Because you're not living life, right? You're on vacation. So teenagers are on vacation. and they think they have these deep, deep questions. Some of them do. Some of them do. I'm not condemning anyone. It's a monster, the teenage years. In the Torah, there's no teenage. Well, teenage years. You mechanech someone, and then when you finish being mechanech, he's mechuyev in mitzvahs. Then it really cuts out half the questions, three quarters of the questions, because you're busy doing mitzvahs and not doing aveiros, and then you get married. That's all. Anyway, but life, I'm saying, everybody has to, it's like, sometimes people wonder, and we all wonder, because the davening was a little robotic. And the mitzvahs are a little robotic, and everybody's, it looks like, you know, like a communist country where everybody has to, you know, dress the same and live the same and do the same. But it's not true. When you live life, and when you grow up, I call it, when you grow up and start living life instead of being a teenager, so you realize that nobody is the same. No two people are the same. Everybody has a different life and different nisyonos and different expressions of spirituality and different connections to Hashem. And you realize how brilliant, it's not nice to talk like that, how brilliant Hashem is, where everybody has to do like a certain baseline. But you could pour into the baseline. I mean, some people will mumble the Haggadah and wolf down the matzah and complain how tasteless it is. And then, you know, and then spend 2.5 hours on Shulchan Aruch. And then some people have a whole amazing spiritual experience, say the night. And the same with everything. You know, you could, tefillin. Everybody has to put on tefillin, man. Yeah, some people wrap it on, dive in 16 minutes, take it off and run out the door. And some people are wearing tefillin and you feel, it's a very powerful, powerful force. And any mitzvahs like that. You see what the Ramchal is talking about. You see that, and the Chodesh HaLavos really talks about this at length in Shara Avodas Elokim. That there's a baseline of things we have to do, and that like keeps everybody like saying everybody has to eat. and everybody has to eat a certain amount and get enough nutrition to live. But some people could, you know, you could eat healthy and you could eat not healthy and you could exercise, and you, like, it's like a whole different life, really. So here it's bad Marshall, here it's even more so. The Chazal says the ikar of your spiritual life is what you do personally as individualistic. But right, you give me any 100 people, each one's putting on tefillin differently. Give me any 100 people, each one's taking challah differently. Some are doing it by rote, mumbling the bracha, and some are reading up about challah and being inspired by what challah is and what it teaches you, and any mitzvah, right? Any mitzvah. So really, Hashem, no, you read Ramchal, you know, and Hashem knows the perfect amount of mitzvah, 613, that would contain every spiritual force in history in 6,000 years of the world existing. We'll call it 6,000 worlds. So 613 mitzvahs contain all the spiritual forces that will have the world reach its shleimus. How? Because every person is different. Every person has their own life. I mean, when we think of ourselves and our children, like, we see right away, like, okay, everybody has to make a bracha, but like, some people make a bracha, and some people eat to make a bracha, some people make a bracha to eat, and some people mumble the bracha, some people say the bracha, some people think about the bracha, and everybody deals with life a different way. Everybody's different. It's again, it's immature, or it's because of lack of life experience. You know, people say everybody Shmona Esrei. So it's true. Before Achik Nesach Gdayla, everybody used to make up their own words to daven. Then Achik Nesach Gdayla, the Rambam explains, saw that if we're just going to leave it up to people to make their own davening, in a few decades, no one's going to be davening anymore. Chazal understood that. It's because if you read the Sadoros, but still, you know, then, because try it out, you'll see. Go to any kid that doesn't want to daven and say, you know, you can use your own words. So, oh man, that is great. So daven for like 4 days, 5 days, and then you won't be davening anymore. So there's a certain nusach he has to say, but, you know, thousands of svarim written about the nusach, and you could learn it and study it on different levels and what the words mean and the different layers of meaning. Right? And every davening should be different. And it shouldn't say it's boring, it's the same words. That means you're not thinking about the words. And you're just reciting. Yeah, the recital was boring, but it's not supposed to be a recital to see if you know the Pledge of Allegiance by heart. Okay, anyway, so that's what Ramchal says in paragraph 5, that everything is targeted. Every spiritual force in the world is targeted. Every mitzvah has a target, every mitzvah has a power. And then you remember, again, every person uses the mitzvah differently. Every person has his own bechira, his own nisyonos, his own life. It's overwhelming. But it's a big world out there, and everybody has to contribute to the shleimus of the world. And that's what the mitzvahs do. Everything, again, just like all the physical laws, if you study chemistry or physics, you learn that there's a multitude of physical laws. Of course, there's so many things going on in a place with atoms and neutrons and protons and chemical reactions and, you know, things interact with each other and cause and effect and gravity and everything, magnetic fields. Everything accomplishes something in the world. Everything, you know, to produce an apple takes a lot of work. Okay, Perek Sheni. Maybe we should skip it, let alone the women to feel bad. But nowadays women learn Torah also, so we don't have to feel bad. The Talmud Torah, that is a philosophical question. And he's going to describe Talmud Torah as the greatest bonding you can have with Hashem. So, let's say, 100 years ago, before Sarah Schneer, right? So, actually Sarah Schneer, okay, that's a different talk. But before that, so wait a second, why don't girls have all these glowing spiritual highs that the Rav Chaya is going to describe now in Perek Beis? Because Perek Gimel talks about Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and then the rest of the section talks about various mitzvahs, so, you know, so it's fine. But Talmud Torah is in a class by itself. He's going to elaborate and explain. As though if you're acquainted at all with the Nefesh HaChayim, like Talmud Torah is in a class of itself. So, what am I going to tell the women? So now they don't have to worry about to tell the women, because the women are into higher education in Torah also. So, but the fact remains they don't have the mitzvah Talmud Torah. Although they do to know what to do, but he's not going to be speaking about to know what to do. He's going to be speaking about Torah as something close to Nevuah, like you're bonding with Hashem on a level of like reading Hashem's mind, you're reading Hashem's mind and you're trying to tap into his trend of thought. And that's, okay, so.
Huh?
Yes. Oh, thank you for interrupting me. I didn't know the answer. I thought the answer read, let me just finish. No, I mean, look, I'm a man. So you could say everything I say with a grain of salt, or not, and you could go ask Shira Smiles what she says. But she's a Talmud Chacham, you see? But the truth is, if you want to hear the truth is that a man and a woman are one neshama, and it's the same neshama, and it's not a competition between the men and the women. That is one of the disasters that the feminist movement has hoisted upon the world, even if we don't subscribe to it, and even if we recoil in horror, but they make men and women into different unopposing teams, like football and Aliza Bloch, like different teams. Men and women. But they're not different teams, they're the same team. That's clear in the Chumash, clear in Jewish Hashkafa. They're the same team, and so it's like, because if you, a man and a woman, everybody does everything. Together they do everything. And there's things that men can't do. And women, the Talmud Torah, so super duper duper special. So, so the answer to that is the Gemara talks about it. Like, it's not like, I just thought of a question. Why is Tzadik Rabba and Rosh HaBetolzlov? Why? I just thought of that question. Anyway, the Gemara asks the question, and the Gemara explains that the women enable the man's learning. And they enable their children's learning. So, and that's what they do. That's their connection to the specialness of learning. I'm not talking about now, again, everybody, it's all one. One neshama. And so you do different things. Right? It's not like Purim is jealous of Simchas Torah, and Simchas Torah is jealous of Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is jealous of Hanukkah, and Hanukkah is jealous of Shavuos. They're silly, silly words. Because the whole year is one unit. And there's Hanukkah, there's Simchas Torah, there's Purim, and Yom Kippur. That's all the year. There's no competition between the days of the year. Oh, but the Gemara is still bothered by what's the woman's connection to this super duper special thing called Talmud Torah. Like, the Gemara is not even satisfied with what I just said. And the Gemara said, well, they enable it. And they have to enable it, that's all. And, a different Gemara that's in a totally different context, nothing to do with men, and nothing to do with women, and nothing to do with Talmud Torah, and nothing to do with anything. The Gemara says, Gadol HaMa'aseh Yosher Min HaOseh. The enabler, and we know this from life, and we know it from relationships, and we know it from many areas in life, that the enabler is on an, at least the Gemara says the enabler is more than the doer. So why is it more? Why don't you just say it's equal? That I have an answer, but I'm not going to say the answer now. So I'm not the time to go off on tears so much. But the Gemara statement is the Dodu Hama'asa Yosef Min Ha'oset. The enabler is even on a greater connection to the good deed than the doer. So let's even say it's the same. So that's what the Gemara says. That's a statement in a vacuum. That's a statement that's true. That's true. That's a true statement. And the Gemara is not talking about man. We're not talking about Talmud Torah. We're talking about anything. We're talking about a truism in Jewish hashkafa and philosophy. Gadol Hama'asa Yosef Min Ha'Osa. So, an enable, if you're not in a situation of enabling anymore, or you're not at all, so that you can give money to yeshivas, they enable people learning. That's a woman, is connection is enabling. And the truth is, there's some men, this is in Shulchan Aruch also, in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Talmud Torah, that a man who cannot learn, can't. So I don't know, why can't he? Because he can't. His head is a block of wood. There are other people like that. So the Gemara says he should support Torah. That's where Yisrael Chazul comes from. He should support Torah, and he should enable Torah. And so you have men enabling Torah too. So that's a universal value, enabling. Anyway, okay, so I don't feel guilty anymore. And also, man has the ownership of Bittul Torah, which we'll try not to think about. Yes, we have a question still.
Does learning, does he mean just Torah? Does Derech Hashem, does Chavos HaLevavos?
Yeah, okay.
Or does he mean
you want the truth?
I wasn't asking the question. Yeah.
As we learn the Ramchal, we'll see that he means Torah Shabbat and its elaboration. He's not talking about Musar, and he's not talking about Hashkafa. That's what they call in school Yahadus. It's Yahadus. And it's crucial, and it's important, and it's essential, and it's vital, and it's inspirational, and it's everything, but it's not, I'm not going to lie to you, it's not Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is Tanakh and its explanation, which is in Torah Shabbalka. Hello? Yes, I can talk to you now. Who is this? It's up to you. It has to be 2 o'clock. It could be 2:01. Again, those things are essential. I used all the adjectives already. But it's not. He's talking about, because he's talking about a special connection with, it's the Dvar Hashem. The Dvar Hashem is the Chumash to a lesser degree, Nevi'im. To a lesser degree, Ksuvim. So, okay, you could say if Ksuvim is included, and you learn Eov, and Eov is Hashkafa, and Mishle is Hashkafa, and Tehillim is Hashkafa, so in effect, you're learning Torah Shemiksav. So I would say, okay, if a woman may be more valuable than learning Ramchal, would be to give a class in Mishle or in Tehillim. So you're actually learning Torah. Of course, he's going to talk about that these are the utterances of Hashem and how spiritually fulfilling they automatically are, because they are the Dvar Hashem. They are the words of Hashem. And like, you can't, it doesn't come any better than that. So, I really think the truth is, so again, this is all in the last 100 years these questions came up. Till then, it was one woman in a generation, two women in a generation that were literate, literate, that were able to learn. Now it's a whole thing. Now, new hashkafa has to be developed, really. Look, I lived in Muncie. When I left Muncie, after being married there 21 years, the Vishnitz and Satma Chadorim were still, the women still did not learn inside. They told them the story of the Tarsha. They talked to them, but they still weren't learning inside. They weren't learning. I don't know what happened now, because, you know, everybody changes, you know. How much can you... Women were not... When I left Muncie, women were not allowed to drive. I'm talking about, you know, Vishnitz or Satma. And Bells, women were not allowed to drive. What? What? Still not. Okay, so I'm saying, you know, you push the envelope, you know, you... They weren't driving, and the girls in sixth grade were not learning Chumash inside. They were being told the story. They weren't allowed to learn inside. So you still have the traditionalists. It's a new... Hashem, you know, he gives a lot of the Shonos, and, you know, concurrent with Sarashneer, which all the Gedolim Paskin is a positive thing, although they didn't give a curriculum. So if you don't know, they might have meant what Vishnitz does and what Satma does. They might not mean Benota Rama, you know. But it's new. We're still like figuring out what to, well, I don't know. You know, Rav Soloveitchik of YU, he had girls learning Gemara also. He went like, he really pushed the envelope. So that's an issue we don't know. What?
The Lubavitcher Rebbe, from way back when, was pro-women learning.
Learning what? Uh-huh. Learning what?
I don't know.
Nobody's against women learning. That's Sori Schneer, right, made a revolution, and everybody accepted the revolution.
What did the Gemara say about learning Gemara?
No, the Gemara just says women do not have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that's why up until 100 years ago, which is like nothing, right, women didn't learn. Women were home and were taught yahadus by their mothers and learned how to do what the woman's role is. So Hashem controls history, as we learn in Chayetz Avodah and Shara HaBechina. It's like Hashem saw a need for the Industrial Revolution, and he saw a need for computers, so he saw a need for a Sori Schneer. So I need the need for it, of course, you know, and you have, the feminist movement, and you have the breaking down of the ghetto walls, and women are not going to be satisfied anymore, and they're not staying home anymore, they're in the park, you know, they weren't staying home, and so Rishniya saw that they're not staying home. There's too many foreign influences, and it's too much freedom, and they're not, you can't keep them home anymore. You know, they're outside and they're listening to the communists and the Zionists and the socialists and the free thinkers. So you can't just close yourself up in a vacuum and say, you know, hear no evil, see no evil. And that's why all the Gedolim recognize the need. Just like there was a need to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. It's as major revolutionary as that. Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishnayos, Gemara, is not supposed to be written down. Everything we're doing is a Horas Shah, is a B'dievet. We're not supposed to. You're supposed to be Rebbe to Talmud, Rebbe to Talmud, Rebbe to Talmud. You're not supposed to be learning a text. Okay, so these things are, you know, okay, not a history class. Okay. Good.